This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN? Oh, what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found — I am not a therapist — I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it, and sometimes it makes you realize, like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy.
Happy holidays, and welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. Every week at iFanboy.com, we read this week's comic releases and pick the best one of the lot. We write a review on the site and discuss it here on this podcast. I'm Ron, and as usual, I'm with the iFanboy writers. Connor, who survived the transit strike in New York.
Hello! I've got hurting legs.
And Josh, who has been surviving the holiday traffic in L.A.
Howdy. I was actually stuck in traffic just now when you said that, so it took me a minute to catch up with you.
So this week is special not only because it is the week before Christmas and Hanukkah and all the lovely holiday
treats. Same day this year.
Yes, but it is also a special week because Josh actually made it to the comic book store on Wednesday.
This is maybe only the second or third time since we've done this, and this is our 8th episode?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. Look at that. That's consistency. That's stick-to-itiveness.
It is. And while most podcasts are taking this week off and coming to at you next week, we're here working.
So I'm here to tell anybody who listens to Twit regularly who's taking the week off, listen to us instead.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll mention my iPod.
So Josh went to the store on Wednesday. It is his pick this week. So what'd you find?
All right, I bought a lot of books. In fact, I actually went back to a different store.
And you went to two stores?
I did. I went to what may be ostensibly my new store. I don't know. We're kind of. It's like it feels a little like I just broke up with somebody and like
you found a newer, hotter store.
Yeah, like I found this like new cool chick, and I'm like, oh hey, and they're like, oh yeah, we have a discount program. I was like, really? And you're only up the road from me. It's really, it's like that early dating stage. It's way early though. Like I'm hoping to run into her again somewhere. Oh, it's joyous. But I went back because I noticed there were some books that I meant to pick up and I didn't. All right, let's see. I went back to pick up the new Iron Man Inevitable book by Joe Casey.
Joe.
Well, I thought I'd give him a shot with this. I don't know why. Like I was reading it. It's one of the, I was reading like a review, and it's one of those we're taking Iron Man back to his roots, and I was like, oh, I'm sick of hearing that. But
by taking him back to their roots, do they mean that he's making him a drunk again? Or?
No, he's actually like trying to stay off the liquor right here. But it's about his rogues gallery. It feels a little like when Jeff Johns took over Flash.
Oh, really?
Kind of what it feels. Yeah, it's, he's got like a bunch of villains who are going to come after him now.
And well, it's, so was this your pick though?
No.
See, the reason Ron has to ask is because we don't know.
Yeah, because it hasn't been published yet.
it's written. It's just not there.
It will be live by the time you hear this podcast.
Totally.
So.
And I also went back to pick up Testament number 1, which is a new book from Vertigo. Anyways, the point of this is that there was a lot of really good books this week, and I actually had a hard time picking. I went with Hellblazer, which is now called John Constantine Hellblazer, but I'm going to call it Hellblazer.
Because of the hit movie, right?
Hit movie, which actually was not bad at all, even though it had everything going against it.
I saw half of it on an airplane. It was all
right. It's good. It gets the attitude right. It doesn't have the character right. I mean,
yeah.
It's a renter though.
It's totally a renter. I saw it in the theater. I actually really enjoyed it. I've been reading the book. Part of the reason I bought this is that I picked this is because it's the last issue for Mike Carey. And
oh, really?
I'm a huge Mike Carey, and once again. I had no idea. I got to the end of it, and it's like next issue starting. The next issue, award-winning novelist Denise Mina, and I'm like, wait, what? Because Mike Carey's been writing this for like over three and a half years or something like that, and it's been great. And apparently, they announced this in March that he was going to be leaving. But
sad. It's a sad day in the iFamily.
2005 was just a wash for you, basically.
Was not the year of Josh.
It was not. Well. Yeah, no, it wasn't.
For other reasons, yeah, but not in comics. Yeah.
But I just don't pay attention to comic news anymore because there was so much, if I can borrow a phrase from the off-maligned Warren Ellis, too much noise to signal. I just couldn't sort out. Like, I go to Newsarama.
You know Warren Ellis actually didn't coin that phrase. He just applied it to comics.
I know that.
Okay, all right.
But I don't like him, so that's giving credit. I know he didn't. Who is it?
No, I agree with you because it got to one point where every day it was about exclusive contracts.
Yeah.
And it just got boring.
I just stopped reading the news. I couldn't suss out what I liked and what I didn't because they're just doing – I mean, granted, Newsarama does a ton of content, and I think that they should get a lot of credit for covering the board all the way across. Like, they do all sorts of comics, and they talk to all sorts of kinds of people, but it got to the point where I just couldn't follow it because I had too much other stuff going on, I guess. Anyway, so this was his last issue, so it was kind of like a capper issue. And I know that you guys, neither of you
read
this.
Nope.
So I'll make it brief. But basically, I started reading Hellblazer about over 5 years ago. Brian Azzarello had just started writing it, and I didn't even know who he was back then, which is how long ago it was. And I didn't really know what Constantine was. He's basically a magician who's got like sort of a foot in the demon world and the other world, the supernatural
stuff.
What
made you start to buy it?
The first arc I read was actually John in prison, and I just thought it looked kind of like Oz, and I thought.
Well, I've read that one. I got that trade.
It was a good way to start.
It was.
And then
good.
After that, I mean, Azzarello, he does tone really, really well, and the artist on that was Marcelo Frusen, who does. The two of them are actually doing Loveless right now. I don't know if anybody's reading. That's a Vertigo.
I was gonna look for it at the store Wednesday, but I completely forgot the name of the book, so I didn't.
I bought the first two issues. It's pretty good, but again, it's good. Like they're good moments.
Mm-hmm.
There's really good moments in it, but overall, I have no idea what's going on. But I really love Frusen's art, probably more than I like Azzarello's writing. But that first prison storyline was really good, and after that, it kind of, I don't know what was happening, and it got really gross and weird and strange sometimes, but at least it was trying. Then Mike Carey took over it after he was sort of probably just about a year, not quite a year into Lucifer. And Carey's British, and so he kind of has the voice of Constantine down a little better. he has him sort of sounding, I think, like a West End sort of.
Because Constantine's comedy. British.
Yeah, Constantine is British. He's not Keanu Reeves by any stretch of the imagination, but he had the voice down really well, and it's been a really great 3.5 years. I don't seem to pick it as pick of the week very much because I don't. It almost doesn't stand out. It's incredibly consistent, and sometimes the storylines are better than others. But the last year or so, it's been exemplary. It's been really good, and I just don't think it's come up on the weeks that I had pick of the week. So this last issue is. In the last one, he got an invitation to go to this sort of gathering of British magician people, and he told the guy to fuck off, you know, and I'm not going to this, and somebody convinced him he had to go. So at the beginning of this, basically his whole life's fallen apart, his sister's dead, all sorts of stuff's happened, he some demon sort of raped him and had his demon children, and they tried to kill him and everyone he loved. It's dark, I mean, that's sort of the point, but the art completely complements that. But he goes to this party, and on the way he's sort of musing about the emptiness of his life and everything, and he steps out into the freeway, and he watches a big truck come at him. And he just sort of stands there, waits to see if it runs him over. When it stops in time and doesn't kill him, he's like, all right, I won't do it now. I'll leave it. It's fine. So he goes to this party, and he basically tells all these magicians that they're fucking around with stuff they shouldn't be, and they all know it, and they're being greedy, and nobody in any of the other supernatural worlds appreciates it, and they're all going to pay for it eventually. And, you know, basically just tells them all off. And if you look at the cover of this issue, it's basically him sort of giving the backhanded two-finger salute, which is just, you know, it's the Tim Bradstreet cover. It's perfectly indicative of what this
is.
Should be.
Were they like, you know, super magicians? Or are they, I mean...
They're mostly London sort of...
It wasn't like card trick magicians. It was like...
No, like sorcerers. Magicians. Sorry.
Okay, sorcerers. All right.
I'm reading a book.
Was Zatanna there?
No, she was not.
Okay.
But it was like sort of an international society of them, which he thinks is all bullshit anyway. But he just sort of tells them they're all in it for the wrong reasons, and they're wrecking themselves, and he knows because he's wrecked himself. And big thing happens at the end, and it's just like it's a really good sign off that like this guy's attitude is so interesting in comics. There's nobody like him. There's no characters like this character. He's an incredibly good character. And he just sort of knows he's doomed, and he keeps doing stuff, and no one likes him, and he knows it, and there's nothing he can do about it, but he still says fuck off to everybody anyway. I don't know, it's just, if you, I can recommend it. You can pick up almost any trade and get something out of him. There's some really good ones out there. All of the sort of really good writers of the last 10 years, not all of them, but a lot of them have really cut their teeth on working on Hellblazer. Warren Ellis did a good Hellblazer run. Garth Ennis, before Preacher, did his Hellblazer run.
Didn't Alan Moore write it?
Huh? Alan Moore created him in 1985. Right. He popped up in Swamp Thing. That's where he comes from.
The best Constantine thing I've ever read was the unpublished or unpurchased Twilight of the Gods proposal from Alan Moore. Mm. Have you guys read that?
I didn't get through it. I tried.
It was really
times.
Good. It was just his proposal for a Crisis on Infinite Earth style miniseries for DC, and it's Alan Moore, so the proposal's super, super detailed, and it's almost like reading the story as it is, and it's the main character is Constantine, but it features all of the superheroes. And if you Google up Twilight of the Gods and Alan Moore, you should get it quite easily, but it's really like reading
a novel, though. It's,
yeah. It's good.
It's dense. Yeah.
That's the best, because that proposal captured the character really well, I thought.
Constantine also shows up. He shows up a few times during that Swamp Thing run. I have all those Alan Moore Swamp Thing trades. He shows up a few times in there. They have like a weird relationship, him and Swamp Thing. And he shows up. He's in the first Sandman book too. He's sort of the quintessential sort of British character that people like the Brits tend to use a lot because he's fantastic. Like I said, you can pick up any of those trades. I have the one trade I have. It's a Garth Ennis book. Oops, not Garth Ennis. He gets lung cancer because he smokes all the time, and then he has to like have a. He, like, tricks the devil and all that. I mean, that's kind of what he does. He tricks the devil. That's why all the gods hate him and the devil hates him and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Lucifer's a spinoff of that. And that's one of the other books this week was Mike Carey's Lucifer, which is just about wrapping up. And it was also incredible. Like, it was another really good book. Basically, they replaced God. The same God that Preacher was hunting has said, I'm not in this anymore. And he appointed a new God. And it was this girl that Lucifer had been sort of tutoring for like the whole series.
God is a devil?
No, because the thing is, he doesn't write Lucifer like the devil. Mm-hmm. He's not evil. He just has different...
values?
No, he has a different agenda than God. He finds the idea of heaven and the Silver City and God to be kind of sanctimonious, and he kind of treats it like it's bullshit. It's incredibly complex. I mean, it's been going on for 70 issues now, and it's actually 69. It's hard to put into a couple of words because it's incredibly rich and deep. But it's been Lucifer's also been one of my favorite. They're both ending. Carrie's run on Hellblazer and Carrie's run on Lucifer, and I'm upset about that. Let's see. Also, there's a Runaways this week that was pretty entertaining. This book Testament is by a Vertigo number one. It's by Douglas Rushkoff, I guess, is a novelist.
And I saw a boastful ad with a Grant Morrison quote saying,
"Make no mistake, the greatest story ever told continues right here."
Yeah, that was it.
Well, no, it's got a tie into the Bible, but it's about right. That's why I laughed. Society. Yeah. He
oh, that's why you laughed.
He hates the Bible. No,
I do.
I did Ultimate Iron Man, which is sort of tanking in front of my eyes.
Ultimate Iron Man, you still buy that? Why did you buy that?
I bought.
It's been decent despite Orson Scott Card being. He
can't write comics. I think that he's got. Well, no, I think he's got. I love his novels. I've read all of them. Well, not all of them.
I thought that was pretty apparent after the second issue.
Yeah, but I stuck with it. I mean, they weren't so bad. Like, the second one was the worst.
Okay, well, that's why I dropped it.
It's going really slowly.
Yeah, but the thing is, he seems to have a hard time with the format, and it's very confusing at times. And I think his scripts are not detailed enough. And I think he's just trying to wrestle with the medium. Now, I've read stuff about Orson Scott Card, which makes me not like him at all, at all. But but at the same time, I mean, the man's given me more pleasure reading Ender books than almost any author, at least consistently over the course of a lot of books. So I'm trying to separate the man from the work again. Yeah. Again, Ben Siever helps our lives. Yeah, come on, someone's going to clear it up. You guys are the clear-up guys. I say the thing, and you go, just so you know what he's talking about.
Well, I figured we could let that one go, and if you know, you know.
Yeah,
you know.
All right, if you know, write in, and we'll send you an email. It's not maybe a picture. But it's a great week. I still have stuff from a couple of weeks ago to read. I finally caught up on that Gotham Central. It deserved pick of the week status, and yes. I had completely forgot what Connor said about something happening near the end. And I got there, and I was in bed. I was like sort of laying in bed. And
all right, now it's getting dirty.
I had pants on, and
what about
I just,
a shirt?
Because I was trying not to wake Lindsay up, and I was like, "Oh, jeez!" One of those. It's like you turn the page, and you're like, "Oh!" And you go back, you go, "Did that really happen? Oh my God, it really did happen!" It was good. Yeah, I don't want it to happen. I don't want to happen what happened, but.
No, but it was still good. It
needs to happen.
I didn't see it coming at all. Either.
So I mean, a great week of comic books. I'm very happy right now.
Isn't it good when you have one of those weeks?
Oh, it's so good. Where I had like choices. I mean, normally I'm stuck in this mire of mediocrity. Right. And I really had to think about it. What I wanted to choose. I could have chosen almost any of them.
I feel like you either get a week where there's too many books to choose, or there's nothing to choose.
My week is that either there's nothing. I have three types a week. Either there's nothing. There's a lot of really good books, or there's a lot of really bad books. So.
I think isn't that the same as nothing?
Yeah. Possibly. depends on your perspective.
But, like, even the Joe Casey book was good, and I think it's because it felt a little like the Wildcats book, which I loved to death. I thought that those were great books. I mean, any
is
of these
it corporate boardroom stuff?
A little.
That's what you'd expect from a Tony Stark book.
It's touches on it, but it's going to be more about his rogues gallery. It's about like a bunch of rogues getting together to take him down, I think.
So I would have never predicted in your life that you would have bought two Iron Man books in one week.
And
that's a very good point.
I used to love Iron Man when I was younger. Does anybody remember the one, this is from when I was probably 11 or 12, where he had the girlfriend who went crazy and shot him? And that was one of those last pages where you're like, oh, I was the only one reading this. Basically, what it is he was dating this girl who was like some blonde chick who was whatever, and he broke up with her because he realized she was no good for him. And he comes home, like, he broke up about 3-4 issues later. He comes home after like a date at the end, and you hear like a voice in the darkness, and she goes, "Tony," and like you see her, and you flip the page, and like he's like slumped on the ground, having been shot through the spine, Ooh. And there's like the blood trail down the wall. And I was like 12 when I read
that. Oh, I do remember
that. Oh,
that
was so good.
That's up there with the beginning of the Kyle Rayner Green Lantern run when his girlfriend got stuffed into the fridge.
Yep, and then he was paralyzed for a long time after that, and he could only use the suit to make it, like, the suit could make him walk, and so he became addicted to the suit.
You see, the thing with Iron Man, the dependency on the suit, because that was the origin of it, because he was trapped in Southeast Asia, and he had the heart problem, and he had to build the suit, and he needed the suit to live. And remember, he used to put his business suit on over the chest piece, which would look idiotic, but still, I always found that interesting. And I think when the suit is involved, that's when it's really good, you know, like so.
Well, we're not here with this yet, because basically where we are with Iron Man right now is that. And I haven't read Iron Man in a long time. I don't know what stage they're at. Seems to me like he's off the sauce, and he's trying to stay off the sauce. And he's like going to parties. They're like, you're not going to have a drink? He's like, no, thank you.
Wait, on that note, real quickly, on Decimation issue number 2, which was awful, and I don't want to talk about it. That's how bad it was. But there was the protagonist girl, the reporter. She's an alcoholic, and her boss is yelling at her to go to an AA meeting. And so she finally does go to an AA meeting, and she says, you know, he said I just had to go. I didn't have to stay. So she gets up and leaves. And as she's leaving, in the background, there's a guy saying, hi, my name is Tony S., and I'm an alcoholic. And everyone goes, hi, Tony S., and then it moves on, which I thought was kind of funny. So in that continuity Marvel world. Okay,
so,
I'm sorry,
and the point is that he's apparently Tony has sworn off being Iron Man. Like, he's not going to be Iron Man anymore. And
did they
everybody,
alert New Avengers?
No, yeah. Well, no, but everybody thinks he's lying. Like, he talks about Iron Man in the third person, and people are like, you don't need to do that. And he's like, I'm not Iron Man. But I don't know who is Iron Man. That's the thing. Like, Iron Man showed up, but I didn't really see him as Tony. So maybe he's lying and maybe he's not. I don't really know. Which is kind of fun because I don't know anything about what's going on. I get the same mystery, I guess.
I had a big week as well. I actually had one of the most stressful comic buying days of my life.
Why?
Well, because I had a very busy day on Wednesday, and it involved me. And for those of you who don't know, there was a transit strike in New York, and I was in Queens at 3 o'clock, and I decided to go buy my books at Midtown Comics on 45th and Lexington.
What's Queens?
And
it's precious.
And it took me... about an hour and a half to get from 96th Street and 2nd Avenue to 45th Street in Lexington, which if you're from New York or been to New York, you know that's really not that far of a distance. And it actually involved a moment in the car where my wife turned to me and says, do you really need to get your books today? And I just looked at her and said, I'm not even going to answer that question. So I did get to Midtown, and I did buy a lot of books, none of which I don't think Josh and I had any books in common. But on an interesting side note, I did buy Infinite Crisis number 3, which
is very good, I thought.
Which I thought was really good. But on a side note, so I'm having this awful day, and after I pick up my comics, I drove over to the West Side to pick up some friends, and I had to drive them back up to Spanish Harlem. So I'm driving up 8th Avenue, and I'm about to make a right on Central Park South, and I stop abruptly at a red light, and as people start crossing the street, and I'm kind of mad as hell, and I got people in the car, and I kind of stop, and I look in front of me, and there's Phil Jimenez crossing the street. I go, hey, it's Phil Jimenez! And everyone in the car who don't read comics, they're like, who's Phil Jimenez? I'm like, oh, he drew Infinite Crisis.
Ron thinks he's friends with Phil Jimenez.
No, we've had very good conversations
at
the cons and stuff. Yes, in my head we're friends. But he's a very polite, nice guy. And if you ever see him at a convention, go talk to him because he'll talk to you. And he's a good creator.
He did some good sketches.
He did a great. Some of my best sketches are by him.
Yeah.
So my favorite sketches. But anyway, so and I was really impressed by his work on Infinite Crisis. And even though I still don't really like, I've got like 85% understanding of what actually is going on. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it.
It was very good. I thought I was impressed.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really good.
And it's turning out. I'm right. The Earth 2 people are the villains of the story.
Yeah. You called it. We'll see how that goes.
Did either of you guys get the Hulk Wolverine Ultimate whatever?
I did pick that up. I did.
Was it as crappy as I suspect?
No, actually, it was pretty decent.
Really?
It was pretty good.
Haven't they gone to that well too often?
Well, the thing is, Wolverine and Hulk have never met in the Ultimate Universe.
Oh,
that's
well,
the whole point.
Hurry.
And so, I mean, in a nutshell, and spoiler warning, if you don't like it, skip ahead 2 minutes. In the podcast, basically, in the Ultimates, they quote unquote executed the Hulk for killing 800 people in New York, but he actually didn't get executed; he got away. And so now Nick Fury has become aware of the fact that he's out there, and so but he can't have S.H.I.E.L.D. do it. S.H.I.E.L.D. go after him, or not the Ultimates go after him. So he calls in a favor of Wolverine and says, "I need you to go find him and kill him." And so Wolverine accepts for some odd reason. and
he likes killing.
Development.
He likes killing, and it's there's actually two great moments in the book where in the very beginning. It starts off, which was, and this was not a surprise. This was teased in the ads, and if you saw it, but it starts off right after the Hulk and Wolverine fight, and the Hulk actually ripped Wolverine in half.
Hmm.
And so it starts off with Wolverine lying there in his upper torso, and he's wondering why he can't feel his legs.
Who wrote it?
And then Damon Lindelof, one of the creators of Lost.
Yeah. Really?
So it starts off with him realizing he has no legs, but he can smell them 4 miles away. And so Wolverine's climbing to go get his legs back, which is kind of funny. But then the funny part at the end
was... Now,
wait,
would he grow new legs, or would he reconnect when he got there?
My guess is that he'd probably reconnect or whatever. They didn't actually show it.
He'd
actually
have to have surgery.
This show. But it is funny because he does make the one comment that where he says, Unbreakable, there goes that. Which is kind of funny. Which is, you know. But then they flash back to him, you know, talking to Fury, and then traveling, and he's in the Hulk's hiding in Tibet, and Wolverine's in some, you know, like low life bar.
Is he Banner?
He's the Hulk.
So he's just always the Hulk.
I don't know.
How does he know to get to Tibet?
I don't know.
Hulk. They stupid Hulk. Is he like grunty Hulk?
Do you read the Ultimates?
No.
Okay, well then he's the Hulk in the Ultimates. It's not like Peter David's Hulk or anything like that. It's he's like more savage Hulk when he's in the Hulk form.
Okay.
It's like Lou Ferrigno and Hulk.
Basically, Fury points out that they've got a series of incidents that have been reported around the globe that they believe is the Hulk, like an earthquake in Paris and a fire in Egypt and like all these kind of things that just quickly get swept under the rug, which he believes to be the Hulk, and that they have word that he's holed up in Tibet. And so Wolverine goes, and he's looking for him, and he's in some low-life bar, and he's sitting there, and he's drinking, and he's looking around, and he talks to a guy, and he says... How come there aren't any girls in this town at all? And the guy looks at him, and the guy's all kind of bandaged, and he says, I know, speak English. And a couple pages later, Wolverine is climbing a mountain, similar to the Batman Begins, Bruce Wayne climbing the mountain to, you know, to go train with the ninjas. And he finds this, you know, kind of castle built on top of a mountain, and there's just the Hulk sitting with about, like, 60 women in bikinis around him, just like, which is kind of funny, because it was the Hulk, the ladies' man.
Vaguely entertaining, so. Actually.
Yeah, so it was a decent read. It was pretty good.
I didn't pick up any extra books. Do you want to know why?
Why?
Because I had to go to Jim Halen's universe.
Oh.
And if you go to Jim Halen's universe, you have to go with a map and a compass to find your books.
And you also have to fight like to get down the aisle.
Right. So
you have to, like, knock people
over. I
only
could get what I had on my list and not anything extra.
My new store has this great system.
They don't even know the jackpot they're getting by you going there now,
man.
Do they?
What's it called?
What's the store called?
House of Secrets.
Where is it located?
In Burbank.
House of Secrets in Burbank?
Yeah, on all.
So if you live in LA, go check out House of Secrets in Burbank.
They apparently have all their new issues sort of on a rack through the middle of the store, and all the new ones have a little cardboard thing under them that says new. So you can look
around. Yeah, my store does that too. They have a little thing on them that says.
Well, that's what Haney's does, but you got to find them in between eight. And all
it's a small place.
They don't all have them either.
Yeah.
But
did you pick up either Green Lantern or the Flash?
I dropped Green Lantern, and I'm so close to dropping the Flash.
It's talk about fall from glory to
the Flash,
you know,
is
like,
terrible.
The Flash
is
awful.
Who writes it?
Joey Cavallari.
I don't know who that is, but he sounds
he wrote like in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
He was like an old name.
Well,
yeah.
The only reason
sounds
I'm not
like he
dropping
a Trans Am.
Yeah. And lives in Jersey. The only reason I'm not dropping it yet is because
he's going to play a part in the Crisis.
Also, right? They're so close to everything getting rebooted that I feel like I'll just hold on till then. If it sucks, I'll drop it. But Green Lantern is just terrible. So it's
shocked.
A whole other level of terrible that I had to drop it.
The Shark Man was it for me.
Oh my! It gets worse this issue.
I like sharks. You would think Green Lantern and sharks, I'd be all over that.
The big brain telepath guy just bothers me, and it's just like the miniseries bringing Lantern back was really good. I mean,
yeah,
it was like
good.
One of the best books of last year, of this year, you know, 2005. But
they dumped him squarely in the Silver Age, and it's just awful.
Oh, it's so bad.
I don't want to see him fighting big shark guys.
Well, no, but in this issue, because you didn't buy it, he fights the Black Hand, which I wouldn't say is Silver Age. It was a little more modern than anything, because it was a knockdown, drag out fight, and Black Hand or whatever seems to be a pretty standard rogue.
Like the
thing.
Black Panthers or?
No, he's a guy in a black outfit. Yeah.
and he has hands.
But
I just think like nothing they've done in the book has been interesting at all. Like the whole stuff at the military base is boring. All the things he hasn't done anything.
Well, I think there's been like maybe like 10% of interest. I think the Coast City rebuilding and people being hesitant to move there and him, you know, kind of settling his roots. The part of the reason why I like The Flash is the Keystone City and Central City Pride and like the
– There is no city where he's talking about. That's the problem. There's no Coast City. Could do like a Katrina sort of analogy with it. You could do something.
Yeah, you could.
Plus,
I mean, I think there's
always
a lot of
one or two pages an issue and it's just –
Yeah, I think there's a lot of potential there in kind of the local aspect.
How long are you going to continue to buy it?
Forever, I can't stop.
Well, I mean, it's the same issue with what you're saying about the reboots. I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but
it's a reboot, though. Aren't they starting over so you can
Renumbering everything. I think they're just...
They're not renumbering, but I mean, it's going to... I want to see how this gets tied into the greater DC kind
it
of...
It might not,
you know.
But I just think, you know, there's only been on 3 or 4 issues. You don't really need to be that invested in it.
Yeah. Did you pick up the Alex Ross book?
Yes.
What did you think of that?
Well, I liked it, except this is the same problem with Secret War you talked about last podcast, is that it's so infrequent that I don't know. I forgot what happened before.
Yeah, I have no idea what's happening either.
It's got the guys who did Spike Kruger too, right?
I don't really believe Alex Ross does anything, by the way. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the credits, it's – what is it? It's, you know, Jim Kruger and Alex Ross' story. So they got on the phone, and Alex Ross was like, let's do this. And Jim Kruger actually wrote it because he gets the script credit.
Kruger's a heck of a writer.
Doug Braithwaite and Alex Ross doing the art. So I don't know how much is, you know, Alex
Doug
Ross versus –
Doug Braithwaite did the layouts. Alex Ross painted over them. But it's well written. It's just that it's been so long since the last one. I don't remember what had happened.
That's a huge. Yeah. I would say that is the biggest problem plaguing comics right now.
Yeah.
There it is. It's out there.
When you've got a situation like that, you should just wait, stockpile a bunch of books, and then release them regularly.
And release it. Yeah. Be patient and get them all and release it on a regular schedule.
I would like it a lot more if I could have told you what had happened in issue 2, but I couldn't.
Yeah,
I can't.
Exactly.
It's a good call for trades. I was talking to my comic shop guy.
Your new one or your old one?
No, my old one. I'm friends with him, so we chat more. That's
you're
the one thing
friends?
I will miss.
You stayed friends?
Yeah.
Until one of you starts dating, and then.
Well, he's got lots of other bitches on the side. So he's saying that the books that do that, he has a huge drop off in sales for. It's a big, big problem, and that no one's fixing. Is that they keep releasing these books, and then you know it goes a little while. I think it was we were talking about Pulse. Because he told me some book, this is the new Pulse or whatever, because I guess something's turning into what Pulse was.
Yeah, they're I don't remember what
Generation
it was, but they're
M?
Changing it. No. It might, maybe. It might be that. Because
either way,
like
I said I dropped Pulse because it was I didn't know what the hell was going on, because it was too, like, all of a sudden you wouldn't see it for a few months. And that's no good. And he was saying he said that's happened to lots and lots of books.
Yeah.
If it's a delay in a regular series, that can almost be understood, but that you're gonna have to wait a while to get the next issue out. But if it's a miniseries, there's no reason why you can't wait to schedule it all in a row.
Well, I think. Well, yeah. I was gonna say it's a timing thing. Like you want to bring it out at a certain time, but then I thought, what's the difference if you can't finish it?
And it's like, well, if it's tied into the overall scheme of things, maybe Secret Wars, I don't know. But Justice is an out of continuity story about the Justice League that can come out at any time. Why not wait until they're all done, or 4 out of 5 are done, and then really start releasing.
Right, or even if it's in continuity, like Secret War was supposed to be, just wait until they're all done and coordinate the stories around then finishing. You know, or don't put all your eggs in some Italian painter who takes, you know, who told you he could do it in such a amount of time and didn't follow through on it. You know, like it doesn't seem like good business. You know, in that regard. So
there's a man named Giuseppe right now crying.
Yeah, I know. Gabriel, I think his name is Gabriel Del Otto or whatever.
That's true.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Hey, Ron, did we get any good listener mail this time?
Yes, we did. We got an email from Matthew in the UK.
Huge in the UK, by the way.
Apparently. The majority of our listener mail comes from
By the way, place, huge so. For us equals 4.
Matthew was asking if we could recommend some good indie comics for him to read. He currently picks up Marvel and DC, but would also read some good indie comics. He's not sure what to get.
Well, I think we all are agreed on the first thing that should be.
Which is
Kirkman,
Invincible.
Invincible by Image Comics.
That is. I mean, like that's a beautiful transition book. Like if you kind of were like, God, I remember superhero comics used to be fun. Why were they fun? What was it I enjoyed about them? And then
that'll show you right there.
That'll answer the question. Oh. Yeah. Well, it was. I mean, I found it tough because he didn't really kind of say what kind of books he likes, right, other than just Marvel or DC. And like with indie books, the great thing about indie books is that you know you could be into superhero stuff and stuff like Invincible and Savage Dragon and what other stuff is out there. But then there's also you know like the relationship books and the crime books and the drama books and stuff like that. So it's kind of hard to pin down exactly where in the indie comics world
I
you can point somebody.
I can't think of any. I mean, that's like saying, like, show me an independent movie I like. It's like, well, what genre
right.
do you want? I can't
right, exactly.
think of any ongoing indie series that I'm in, that I'm buying right now. I haven't seen Queen and Country in a while.
Queen and Country, I feel like, is gone.
I do, too.
Because the last thing we had was that miniseries by Anthony Johnston. Before
right.
that, I couldn't tell you the last time we had a Greg Rucka issue.
Yeah. So maybe he's on hiatus or whatever. But well, again, now that we have trades, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, whether it's an ongoing or not doesn't really matter. I mean, like I know previously, and I've recommended, and Josh doesn't really agree, but you know, pretty, you know, the recent Brian Wood stuff has been great. The demo and
TMZ.
The new series by Oni called Local, which are just kind of you know self-contained stories that are that have a kind of sometimes like a realistic superhero kind of twist to it.
Queen of Country was the only indie book that I was buying regularly in single issues. Everything else I buy that's not DC or Marvel, I buy in trade paperback.
I would say check out Love Fights.
Yeah,
Love Fights is it?
Love Fights was a great twist between relationship comics and superhero stuff.
Yeah,
it was kind of
different.
It was kind of, yeah, it was different. I mean, it was almost like a like an indie approach to Astro City.
I read the first couple. I liked it. I just ended up missing a few in a row, and then felt like that was it.
Yep. Let's see. I'm looking at my shelf.
Ironically, I missed them because of a girl.
You want a good relationship book that I know comes out in trades? Is I don't know how easy it is to find. There's a book called Stylish Vittles that I picked up a couple years ago at San Diego, which is
great guy who does it. He was really nice.
Yeah, it's like really interesting. Like met a girl. This is what happens. It's not super sickly sweet. It's kind of realistic. It's enjoyable. You want indie? I mean, anything that Bendis did with Image before he became the biggest star in the world?
Torso.
Jinx,
Torso, Goldfish.
Goldfish, Fire. Torso is great.
I think Torso
is like
my favorite one.
Historical crime book. That was great.
I actually
had
a chance
good.
To talk to him about that once. It's mostly based on his research. So it's mostly based on. Except for the main characters that are not Elliot. Everybody's not Elliot Ness. They're mostly based on fact. Or
there's
research.
The granddaddy of giant indie books. Cerebus.
Oh, Cerebus.
Cerebus. You know, and I've still yet to read a single issue, and every year I put Cerebus Volume 1 on my Christmas list, and no one buys it.
I have Volume 1, that's it. And I enjoy it.
I have Volume 1 also, yes.
But I'm so scared to go further.
You
need to build a bookshelf if you go further.
Yeah.
It's true.
And take out a loan.
In terms of like granddaddy stuff, the Bone from Jeff Smith, which is that great complete Bone, the whole series in one book was just an awesome.
I
pick
read
up.
It
it's
a few weeks.
Awesome
probably.
Read.
It was fantastic.
You guys really like Stray Bullets, right?
I love Stray Bullets. I loved
don't
it from
anymore.
The, yeah.
I tried for
oh,
a while,
I
like
it.
And it was. Like I kind of one same thing. I could not tell what was going on in your
heart. I think if you were buying Stray Bullets in the trade, or they do great oversized hardcovers at El Capitan.
Yeah.
But if you picked up Stray Bullets in the trade format, you would enjoy it more than the single
See,
issue because there's such a gap in between issues.
David Lapham
so.
Is currently writing Detective Comics.
Yep.
And he just did
Punisher, Daredevil, and for Marvel.
He makes me want to set every issue on fire.
Ah.
It makes me want to go nowhere near Stray Bullet.
There's also that horror book that I picked as a pick of a week a couple of months ago, Dead at 17 by Viper Press, which had a little more of an animation kind of look and feel to the art, but it was actually, and I don't typically go for horror stuff, but it was a fun book. It was a good read.
I would recommend a book that I don't think either of you guys have, which is Persepolis.
Oh, I've looked into that a couple of times.
I have the, both. There's been Persepolis and Persepolis 2. It's about it's an autobiography about young girl living in Iran, and it's really good, really really good.
Interesting.
So there's lots out there.
So
Matthew, if you have more specific genre tastes, email us again, and we can point you in a good direction.
If anybody else has any questions or comments or funny commentary or anything,
or if you have other suggestions,
You can you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com. And it's actually, this is a good segue. I said how Cerebus is always on my Christmas list and no one ever gets it for me. So Christmas is in a couple of days. So Connor, Josh, what did you guys ask Santa or Hanukkah Harry for Christmas?
Socks!
if you had to pick one thing from the comic book world, what did you ask for?
I asked for a whole new set of writers on the Batman books.
Podcast.
It's almost uniformly terrible, and it's such a depressing letdown from the like 5-year span where everybody was really good on them. The time when Rucka and Ed Brubaker are on the books, and all the side books are really good writers. There's not a single good book that they're putting out now across the line. It's terrible. I even dropped Catwoman because it was so bad.
Well, they say everything is cyclical, so it sounds like you're going to have bad writers for a couple of years before you get good ones again.
It's been about a year, hasn't it?
Painful. It's painful. That's what I asked for.
Do you see yourself ever dropping Batman?
No.
See? Batman's your X-Men.
I don't have any books like that.
That's because you don't read.
You know what?
Really
that's not true.
what book is your Batman?
It's not really my Batman, but I can't stop buying it, even though I haven't liked it forever, is 100 Bullets. I've been reading it since the beginning, and
that's
really
gonna end though eventually.
Yeah,
really
it's,
it. I know, but like it's so incomprehensible at this. I really feel right now like Brian Azzarello is gonna come and kill me. When I talk like this because I badmouthed his Hellblazer.
Yeah,
I mean stylistically it's still great. The art's still beautiful. I have no idea who the fuck anyone is. What's going on? Anything? I don't want to read it anymore. But I'm like. This last one was number 67. I mean, I've been reading it since the beginning.
Is it going 100 issues? Is that what it's doing?
I thought that was the original plan.
You got a long way to go, man.
Yeah. I don't think I asked for any. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I did. I'm a couple issues back, a couple books back on the Invincible trades. I don't have the newest Walking Dead.
I just said one thing, Josh.
Tricked.
So if we can narrow it down.
One thing.
I need
one thing.
I need
the thing you want the most. Tricked?
It tricked. Oh, you know what? One of the things is that I'm trying to fill up my Sandman library. I have the first five. I need the last five.
You're really having a hard time with this pick one thing.
Look, what are you going to do? Take it back? There's nothing you can do.
All right, Ron, what's your Christmas wish?
My Christmas wish actually isn't a comic book at all, but the Sin City Director's Cut DVD. That just came out, I think, this week because I held off from buying it when it came out because I knew that they'd put out a deeper DVD.
Is that out now?
Yeah, it's out. It came out, I think, last week.
Yeah, but that one's actually longer, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's got a whole bunch of different cuts, and it's got a whole bunch of different, you know, behind. I think it's like two or three discs or something like that. It's pretty meaty. So, supposedly that's the version of Sin City to buy, not the one that was released a couple months ago. Mm. So we'll see if anybody gets it for me. I doubt anybody will. So I'll probably buy
it. Well, it is a little late.
God, where are you going to pull out that $15 from?
if
no one buys it, you're sunk until next year.
You can run to the store and buy it with Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You should go and get every... I think on the 26th, you should go and try to buy every single comic book-related movie you don't have and always wanted.
Punisher?
And bring them up. That's a good idea. Bring them up to the desk and be like, yeah. Hey! And you get, like, the Daredevil recut one, and you get Elektra.
I need to get, I was watching Hellboy last night. Hellboy was on Starz again last night. I was watching that, and I was like, no, I want to get the director's cut one, and I haven't gotten that. Yeah, I don't have that one.
You know what, I'm making a prediction for Christmas 2006, is we're going to be having this discussion, but Ron will be mentioning the DVD of Ghost Rider.
No, I could draw the line there.
It'll be like, need Fantastic Four 2. And let it go, man, let it go.
So if you haven't been, check out ifanboy.com. There's a post where they've released a little tease of what Ghost Rider looks like, and I probably sum it up in one word. Ugh.
It's like a LucasArts game for the PC from 1987.
It totally is.
That can't be the finished special effects.
You know what though?
Just don't release it.
Yeah.
If your effects aren't finished, don't release them. If you've got to finish one shot, put a team on it. Yeah. They're gonna really like. I always hate that excuse. Like, well, the trailer's out and the effects aren't done. Well, then you shouldn't have shown it because what
you did. Well, that's like
the effects on the main character should be pretty freaking close when you release it.
Exactly. I mean, even if you're watching the trailer for King Kong, the monkey better look good, because if it doesn't look good in the trailer, you have no excuses. Right. Damn.
I can agree with that.
I'm the spirit of vengeance. whatever the hell.
But you know, there's some discussion going on the site questioning whether Ghost Rider was a good book or not. I stand by it. Like, I enjoyed the Johnny Blaze in the late 80s.
I don't think I ever read
a
Ghost Rider book.
I don't think so either.
It was good. It had some good stories. Admittedly, it got bad towards the middle of the 90s, and it hasn't been good ever since. But and unfortunately, Garth Ennis's current take on it through Marvel is just awful.
What happened to him?
Talk about falling stars from the comics world. Garth Ennis.
Here's my take, because that's what I give you. I give you my take. All right, he had his big bright shining moment for a while. Like he was working on Hellblazer.
He was the man
in doing stuff, and it was really good. And then they said, "You want your own book?" And he said, "I have a great idea for a book." And he was like, "Pow!" And then what happened was they said, "You can now do anything you want to." And he went, "All right." And he did his war stories, which
those were really
awesome.
Good. Yeah.
The war stories were good. The cowboy stuff he did was good. The Adventures in the Rifle Brigade, which is like his comedic World War II British Army book,
yeah, that was
fantastic.
Good too.
But then they give him books that like he's like, "Well, did you want to work on Ghost Rider?" He's like, "Sure." And I mean, he just phones it in, I think. And I think he's phoning in the Punisher now because it's easy for him, and he thinks, you know, what the hell? I'll make some stuff explode and whatever. But there isn't anything behind it. I don't know. It just doesn't. I think that he blew his big wad doing the Preacher, and then he did the stuff that he really loves, but nobody reads it. So by the time you get to the stuff that people will buy and read, it's not very good because he's not really into it.
God, worse.
If anybody wants to look into Garth Ennis, if you look him up in Wikipedia, there is a very funny picture of him.
Is it real?
He's got, like, long hair, which if you've seen Garth Ennis in the past 10 years, you know he doesn't wear long hair now. And so it's kind of – it's pretty amusing. I mean – I don't know. Preacher was
that is funny.
Preacher was you just saw it. Preacher was so good, and Hitman was supposed to be really good. That
was
a Batman.
Excellent. They never finished the trades of those.
And
which is if anybody knows anybody who's related to a cousin, and I'm not going to presume somebody from DC is listening. But come on, they got to finish the Hitman trades. They were excellent. They took place in Gotham too, Connor. It's sort of like a Batman.
Book. It was a Batman book, wasn't it?
Sort of.
No.
Yeah,
it was. Gotham,
just because it's in Gotham doesn't make it a Batman book.
It was a Batman book. Accept it.
The Batman.
And he also did. Did either of you guys read The Pro from Image? That one shot he did with Amanda Connor.
Right.
That was awesome. I love that. That was really good.
That was more that shock was, book.
Yeah.
That was fun though. It was a fun
Hitman.
Read.
I remember like they had all these hilarious. Like he got really really smart about like there was villains and there was like the Defenestrator, and what he would do would be to throw you through a window. Like that was his thing. Like he carried around a big window pane, and he would pick you up and throw you through it. He was the Defenestrator. And then there was something Gigante, Hugo or Jaime Gigante, and he would basically anally rape everyone.
What?
That was his thing. And there was this big shot of him, like it was like a full page thing, and he'd be like, "Oh, excelente," and he was all sweaty and gross. And like, I mean, that was like pushing the envelope in a way that no one does anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, that first run on Punisher was awesome.
Yeah, that's true.
Just, that was great.
And that made up a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, like
which
the
I have yet to, I've yet to see the movie.
Didn't he write Constantine?
Movie? And it was good too. It was real good.
He wrote it.
I haven't
did
read.
Write
yeah,
the
he
movie?
Did write the movie.
Oh
yes.
No.
Yeah.
All right, wait, hold on.
Race to IMDb. Yes, he did.
He did write it.
And yeah, he did.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember thinking of the
writing credits.
Hey, whoa.
Jamie Delano and Garth Ennis.
Jamie Delano. He had.
Well, no. He didn't write the screenplay. He got credit for the store for the comic book and the story. And then Kevin Brodman wrote the story. And then Kevin Brodman and Frank Capello wrote the screenplay.
Oh.
What that means is that because what it was is it was the cancer thing in that movie was Garth Ennis' storyline, and that's why he got credit for it. Because that's from the Dangerous Habits story.
Well, didn't they totally screw that at the end? I didn't see the end. That's what I read.
Kinda.
They went the opposite way.
It wasn't
the
same ending.
Yeah,
but there was. It was a good movie.
Boo. I mean, why did they do that?
It had so much going against it that it turned out much better than it had any right to.
It's like Fantastic Four.
And it's also got a writing credit on the Punisher movie because.
Well, that was a lot. A lot of it was Ennis' stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tons of it.
Spacker Dave and all that.
The whole house.
The Angel, by the way.
All right. Well, it's about that time to wish all of our listeners a happy holidays.
It's so that time.
Say what I want for Christmas is new legs.
You walked one day. The subways are back.
I walked 14 miles.
You didn't walk 14 miles,
did you? Seven there, seven back.
What, are you going to bother? You don't know that for sure.
I Googled it.
God, I love the web.
Oh, so good.
This morning I woke up, I thought somebody hit me in the leg with a pipe. Fell down out of bed.
That's not a sign of how bad that was, but maybe you need a little...
When you fell out of bed, did you take like half your room with you?
I nearly fell out of bed.
So we wish everybody happy holidays, and wherever you were spending it, hope you're listening to the podcast and laughing on your new iPod that you got for Christmas.
Does that mean we have to have a video version soon?
Yes.
Because,
I don't think anyone wants a video version of this.
Hey, you know what? I bet we'd be better looking than the CBR podcast.
All right, well, Merry Christmas. I put them under the tree.
Why can't you look at them?
Because you yelled at me when I opened it too soon.
Yeah, you opened it. I don't want you to open it. I want you to look to see if it's mine.
I don't want to get yelled at by you all the time.
Don't open it.